truly is an honor to be here this morning, and I give God glory and praise. You are a beautiful church group here this morning, and I want y'all to know something. I haven't gotten so much out of this weekend because, for one, I have come here and God had a friend waited on me, and his name is Pastor John Adams. I love you too. And this is a great connection that God does throughout ministry, because ministry can be a very lonely place, but God has a way of bringing friends. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And also, I have a friend that I've known him for 30 years. We've been in ministry together, did revivals together, and he came all the way from Georgia this morning. Will you please stand, Brother Gary? That's my friend. You see, divine connections. And not only that, I got a friend in South Carolina, I got a friend in Georgia, and I also got friends who's here from North Carolina. Will y'all please stand this morning? Amen. And they, Herman and Virgie May, they run my website. And so, divine connections. God has a way of doing things like that. But now to my assignment this morning. First of all, my wife sends her love, and she thanked y'all for taking good care of me. And I'm going to tell you, y'all did a phenomenal job. I know I'm a big man, but I have been full. and y'all have some of the best restaurants. I'm here to tell you, and not only that, y'all have prophetic restaurants. That's that's exactly what it will make you fat. Amen. But this morning I'm coming to talk to you about the power of the cross. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. I have come to have such an appreciation of the cross of Jesus Christ. For a very long time, I struggled to understand how something so gruesome could hold so much value for my life. As my relationship with God grew, I begin to get a better understanding of the preciousness of the cross. Many people today look at the cross as the symbol of Christianity. So they assume that if someone is wearing a cross as jewelry or has the cross tattooed, that person belongs to the Christian faith. We see crosses all over this church, praise the Lord, as the backdrop of many church stages on the outside of church building, elevated for all to see. The cross pretty much gives identity to the Christians. The staggering truth about the cross is that while many wear it as a symbol of identity, the power that is resident in the finished work of the cross is not known and therefore not manifested in the lives of the very ones who display it publicly. My hopes are that after you receive this word today, the cross will become more valuable to you than money, possessions, are precious stones. I love the cross. And though today it is only recognized as a symbol, the cross has become a permanent place in my long-term memory that I visit every day. I find grace, I find peace, I find joy at the very place that was meant to be death, shame, and scorn. The Apostle Paul made mention to the cross of Corinth that the cross seems absurd to those who are wise in their own eyes, but for those who understand the cross is the very power of God. The scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 1:18, says the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the power of God. The very power of God. So as we read about the crucifixion in Luke 23 and John 19, we are presented with a scene that incorporates all people groups like no other in history. Let's examine the scene a little closer. What took place on that day? You see, we had the place of crucifixion, which is Golgotha, translated as the place of the skull. And then we have the cross there on which innocent Jesus Christ will die a death for the guilty of all humanity. That's you. That's me. He took our place. And we have at the cross two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. They both deserve to die. They deserve the death sentence. We have the judge Pilate, the one who's hold all the authority to put to death the guilty and uphold the laws of the land. Then we have all the chief priests and all the Jews, the spiritual leaders, in charge of teaching the people to be spiritually fit. We have the Roman soldiers, the officer who used to enforce and administer punishment. Then we have Jesus' mother and his disciples, close family, friends, and loved ones. The scene at the foot of the cross involves so many different positions, so many different titles, so many different accolades, so many different people, different types of shame, different types of grace, and so much diversity. Yet the common denominator to them all was the symbol of the cross. It's by the power of the cross that we are gathered here today. Lord, help us see the power of the cross in our lives. It's by the power of the cross that chains of addictions are broken. It's by the power of the cross that walls of prejudice are pulled down. It's by the power of the cross that denominational differences are embraced. It's by the power of the cross I call you brother, I call you sister. At the cross, we find forgiveness. And that's anybody forgiven this morning? That's anybody here who's been forgiven? We find that because of the power of the cross. At the foot of the cross, Jesus hung beaten beyond recognition. They blooded him. They plucked his beard. They punched him and beat him with sticks and rods. They whipped him with the tail of the whip, with glass and metal pieces and bones, and tore his body all apart beyond recognition. But he never said a word, because he knows
that he had to go to the cross. I'm talking about the power of the cross. It's important that he went to the cross this morning, because if he did not go to the cross, we would have no need to be here. There would be no hope for us. But thank God, because of the power of the cross, we are here today. He was beating my recognition, using every bit of energy and strength to draw his breath while he's on this cross. We get a glimpse into the depth of his breaking yet boundless heart. As he looked down from the cross, he can see all types of people, all types of people groups, all types of levels of people before him. He could hear the statements of mockery. He could hear the hatred that had been spurred out at him. He could hear the tones of anger. And he could see the soldiers laugh and in scorn at yet another valueless Jew. I don't imagine the pain that Jesus must have experienced seeing and hearing the words about him. Jesus was experiencing both emotional and physical pain at the same time. Yet in the most painful moments of his life, he draws in a deep breath and speaks to the Father, knowing the last words he will be able to speak will be words that will see, that will set many free. Jesus had every opportunity and he had every right to give in to the hurt and the pain. He could have allowed bitterness and hatred to enter his heart because he was innocent. He could have called angels to release him from the pain and shame and show the world who he really was. But the love of the Savior for us kept him there on the cross. You must realize that it was not the nails that held him there. It was his love for you and I. Oh, Luke records this statement in Luke 23:34. Jesus said, in the midst of all of that, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. We often have a tendency to remember the cross only around Easter season. And we're about to see how important it is to have the cross on a daily basis. Every day we need to remind ourselves that we too were mockers. We too were scorners at the work of Jesus Christ. We too were in darkness and walking around blind, thinking that we knew what was best for us. If you really think about it, we were not very different from the mockers at the foot of the cross with the rebellious lifestyles we lived before we met Jesus. The power of the cross offers forgiveness when we are so undeserving of it. It cuts to the core of my heart every single time. The cross reminds me that just as I have been so freely forgiven, I can also forgive others. My friends, we cannot afford to go a day without visiting this forgiveness that flows freely to us by the power of the cross. We are forgiven. Can you say amen? We are forgiven. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are forgiven. Now there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are forgiven. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. I know I'm not even First Baptist, but can you give God no greater feeling than knowing that you have been forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Also at the cross, we find freedom. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I hope by now you are starting to appreciate the meaning of the power of the cross. Yeah. Often stop and think about prisoners, you know, and all the things that I do. In our church, we have several men who have been incarcerated. And then while they've been in prison, I write them every week and encourage them. And some been up for 7 years, some 10, but I always write them. And when they get out of prison, when I'm in town, I meet with them face to face for a period of 3 years to help them to be restored. Amen. Because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so I helped to put them back in their proper places. Amen. That's just something that I look forward to doing. And so I look at it from this perspective. I often stop and think about prison, and as an evangelist, my call and responsibility are to be concerned about the hard condition of all people. I try to spend time praying for those who perhaps are forgotten and despised by society because of their actions. I can only imagine life behind bars day after day, being reminded constantly that the cold steel that keeps them in darkness is the price paid for poor choices made. Never been able to have enough space to move freely in heaven, a nagging voice of guilt that reminds them of the crime they committed. It sounds treacherous just to imagine it, yet every day God's people are behind bars and don't even recognize it. The bars we live behind are not physical, but they're taking the form of a spiritual, emotional, and mental bars. Some of us have done things in our past that we regret. Some of us have been abused and carry the scars that keep us from loving or trusting anyone. Maybe we have even committed unspeakable acts that torment us daily. We can't forgive ourselves, and we won't forgive others. No matter what length or height of our bars, we all have had them at some point in our lives. But at the foot of the cross, we see two thieves who are deserving of death because of their choices and crimes. If we go a step further, we can see humanity displayed in these two men, both being in the presence of the Son of God. Seeing and hearing everything from the perspective of Jesus and having a chance for freedom even in death. And one chooses to stay in rebellion, while the other seizes the opportunity to freedom. Amen. And to make things right with God before he leaves this earth. If you look up on the screen, you'll see in the scriptures, Luke 23, 39, and 43. It said, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself. And us too, while you're at all. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God? Even we have been sentenced to die. We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man has done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Yes. Jesus replied, I assure you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Yes. Jesus, in all his love and mercy, offers this unworthy soul grace and freedom from the gift that plagued him till that point. Yes. Today, by the power of the cross, you have a choice to break the bars of unforgiveness, to break the bars of hatred, to break the bars of bitterness, to break the bars of wretched past, to break the bars of guilt, to break the bars of shame, to break the bars of torment, as Jesus offered you the same freedom he offered a thief. Oh Lord, help me to accept your freedom. I do not want to be locked up anymore. Talking about the power of the cross to come to give you freedom today. You don't have to carry that anymore. You don't have to live in torment anymore. You don't have to live in shame anymore. You don't have to live in unforgiveness anymore. You don't have to live in hatred anymore. You don't have to live in bitterness anymore, because the power of the cross can break those things. Thank God for the power of the cross. Thank God. Can we thank God for freedom this morning? Thank God for freedom. Family. I often love to look at families that have a close bond. As a matter of fact, I try very hard to create a family that is pleasing to God. It wasn't always this way for my life, as I grew up in a single parent home after being abandoned from my father. My mom had to work two jobs. One thing I knew, that my mom loved me, but I then had that absentee father. And that absentee in my life, it tormented me. It tormented me. Every Father's Day, it tormented me. You know, when you are 8 years old, I don't want to say this, but God leading me to tell you this. That's one thing I've been abandoned. Sometimes you just rip the things off your heart. You better show to tell this. Somebody need to hear this. When you're 8 years old, when you come home, as an eight-year-old boy, you should not find your father committing adultery. As an 8 year boy, that was not my place. And that tore me up. I had so much hatred for my father. I despised him. I wanted nothing to do with my father at all. Even so much so that I was in my 40s and I was home from the military going to see my mom and my wife and my two kids in the car with me. And I passed by this town. I said, my father lives in that town. And never knew I was married, had never knew I had children. And my daughter says to me from the back seat, say, Daddy, do you care if your daddy goes to heaven or hell? My little daughter asked me that question. And I pull up on the side of the road. And I called my sister. I said, do you have the address where Dad lives? And I turned the car around and I found his home. I got my wife and my kids out of the car and I rang his doorbell. And that was almost 40 years before I laid eyes on my father. And I stood there, my wife and my children. And I said, Dad, this is my wife. And this is your grandchildren. And then from that day, God restored a relationship with my father. Yeah. Every day, every month when I'm home from traveling, I go pick up my father. And I take him to our men's fellowship at church. And I always take him out to breakfast and to lunch. God can restore broken relationships by the power of the cross. Hallelujah. And so I'm here to tell you, there's power in the cross that you thought you have lost forever. God can restore it. That is not in my notes, but that was on my heart to tell you. Amen. And so thank God that he set me free from holding those things against my father. Even though he was wrong, I went to see him and said, Dad, forgive me. Forgive me. Because I have hatred in my heart for you. You are my father. And nothing in the world has changed that fact that you're still my father. And I want you to know that by Jesus Christ, he's given me love again for you. Amen. And then I had the privilege and the honor to have my father come hear me minister. And then my father stood up and he came down and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power of the cross. In case you don't know, all of my friends who know me, they call me the crying evangelist. Amen. So be so big and cry so much. Amen. Oh, man, I thank God for giving me such a tender heart. I thank God. And I've never traded it for anything else. But thank you, Jesus. So thank God for family, amen. See, the family is very important to God. It has been on his heart since the creation of the earth. The family is the unit that God uses to show us how much he loves us. So it's no surprise to me that the enemy goes after the family unit more than anything else throughout this generation. The enemy knows that sin, a strong family unit, will also bring strong communities. So he works overtime to break that bond. One of the strategies of the enemy is to cause discord and separation, because that gives way to the spirit of rejection. When we feel rejected, oftentimes we find ourselves in rebellion to those in authority and leadership because of the lack of love from the parent that walked away. But at the foot of the cross, we see that Jesus, in all of his pain and suffering, was concerned for the ones he loved, especially his mother. He was broken to leave her alone. And in that moment, he provided for her a new son in the Apostle John. That day, John also received the greatest honor to care for the mother of the Savior of the world. Today, you may have experienced the lack of love from your father or your mother, or perhaps from your brothers and sisters. They have walked away from you, but I want you to know by the power of the cross, you become a part of a family that transmit blood relatives. You are part, grafted in, and part as the family of God. Thank God that I'm your brother and you can't do anything about it. That's right. I'm your big black brother. John 19, 26 to 27, said when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here's your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here's your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. At the cross, we also find the work is finished, and we find rest. In the same chapter, John 19 and 30, it says, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The statement, "the work is finished," is music to my ears. But it's only at the cross we can truly grasp the concept of Jesus completing the work for us. All my life, I desired to please God, and I tried desperately to do so without the understanding of the cross. I literally lived life on an emotional roller coaster. I'm sure some of you can relate to this ride of life. One day I can wake up feeling like I have the power to keep all the rules of the Bible. But after a few days, I slip into the feeling of not being good enough to please God. Sometimes it's thoughts that pop into my mind that triggers a guilty feeling, or it could be actions that are contrary to the word. Either way, I ended up tired, frustrated, and angry that I was not good enough. The truth is, we are not good enough within ourselves. But our self-efforts always proved to be futile. Before the cross, man always had to have a substitute. But thank God that by the power of the cross, I am good enough through the blood of Jesus Christ. But before the cross, man always had to have a substitute for his sin. A lamb that was pure and unblemished had to be presented and sacrificed for the shedding of the blood to atone for sins. This action had to be done year after year after year, because the blood of bulls and goats were not sufficient to complete the work for all time. But when Jesus came to the earth, he became the perfect lamb that took the place for all mankind, because he was the only one that could keep all of God's laws perfectly. In Hebrews 9 and 12, he tells us this: with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Now, because of what Jesus did, we can come before God in right standing, knowing full well we couldn't keep the law. But our faith, hope, and future rest in the one who was able to do it. It is the best news I received once I fully understood the work of the cross. I trust that the cross will become part of your daily walk and meditation. I encourage you to note that the following and incorporate them in your quiet times with the Lord. I assure you it will give you strength and renewal each day. Listen, the cross is a place of equality for all men. I said the cross is a place of equality for all men. I have a fair chance. The cross is a place of revelation. I see the need for a Savior. The cross is a place of repentance. I see the need for change of mind. The cross is a place of assurance and redemption. Jesus paid the price. The cross is a place of salvation. All things were made new at the foot of the cross. I'm talking about the power of the cross. That's the reason why you're here today. That's the reason why you're here today. Because there still is power in the cross. The power of the cross is for all of us this morning. For each and every one of us.
Yes, sir.
The power of the cross is for all of us. Each and every one of us. We are all God's prized possession.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He paid a tremendous price. And this morning, I'm just wondering if you would come from where you are and embrace this truth with me, and you would come to the altar as we give our situations, our worries, and yes, even our sins to God. Talking about the power of the cross. Yeah. Will y'all meet me here? Will you meet me here? Will you meet me here? I know that I'm at the stretch. Well, you get up and you all come meet me here, please. The cross is at the place where we can truly humble ourselves before God. You know, at the foot of the cross, that's level ground. We all stand at the same level. There's no classes. We are all in need of the same thing. Every one of us, we are all in need of the same Savior. See, God loves you this morning. God orchestrates things for His purpose and for His glory. It is so unique how God brought me into Detroit to get intertwined with Brother Bill and then with the youth group and in turn bring me here. All orchestrated because that's what God had wanted. It is not a mistake that I'm here this morning. I know I'm on a divine assignment. If anything else, I want to know something. This precious man of God right here, your pastor, I tell you, before he even laid an eye on me, we have had about three or four conversations before we even met each other, even knew each other. We befriended each other on Facebook. We changed our phone numbers to one another. We prayed for one another. And I told him, I said, brother, I can't wait to come to Eastman to give you a big hug. That's what I told him. Amen. I love you.
I love you too.
So by the power of the cross, we can forge relationships like that. You hear me? Only by the power of the cross. By the power of the cross, you allow a Pentecostal preacher to come in to your Baptist church and allow me to speak to you. See, that's what the power of the cross does.
That's right.
Because it helps us to embrace our differences, not to push them away. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for my Baptist sisters and brothers. You hear me?
We thank God for our Pentecostal brother.
Amen. 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 I thank God. But this morning, I want you, as a body of believers here, to pray this prayer with me. And I want you to say it loud enough to let the devil hear it. You hear me? Let the devil hear what you declare this morning. Heavenly Father, we are free
by the power of the cross.
We are forgiven
by the power of the cross.
Thank you for the finished work.
We could not have done it ourselves.
But before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. And while you was on the cross,
you had me on your mind.
Thank you for dying in my place. I'm guilty. But because of you, the guilt is gone. I'm free.
I'm free.
And he who the Son sets free
is truly free indeed.
Thank you for redemption.
Thank you for redemption.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If we could, I have a feeling there's someone here today who wants to make a personal decision in a public way. So I want one verse of invitation, if we could, Carolyn. And Big Reb and I will be down front. And we will not prolong this invitation, I promise you that. But I believe somebody wants to cross over from death to life.